Bulls fans, welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls. We're really getting on top of this, Fred, considering we did like three of these all last year. We were averaging last year one a month, and I think that this year we're averaging probably three a week.
Exactly.
Now I'm getting sick of you, Fred. I used to never talk to you. Now I'm like, good Lord.
We're kind of like Guns N' Roses coming out with albums every 10 years last year, and now we're more like the Beatles, you know, coming out with a classic every year, or every 6 months.
Everything. I don't know how I feel about that analogy right there, but okay.
Hey, we got more important topics to get to.
It doesn't count. Chinese Democracy is not a Guns N' Roses album, and Guns N' Roses is no longer a band. They're not a band that is in... They share the same name. The band Guns N' Roses, as we know them now today, are no longer a band. They're not an active band.
Well, either are the Beatles, but it doesn't mean they're no less relevant than they once were.
For sure. Guns N' Roses, you overrate them to a degree, Fred, where they're a really good band, but their impact, I think, on the history of music, you far overrate that. They weren't around for a very long time, and you got to accept that. They were big for 5 minutes, but it was like a five-minute flash out almost. They were a little bit more massive than that. But
they were the biggest band probably in the world for a good 5 years, from I'd say 88 to 93-ish.
So then where do we put One Direction? They've been the biggest band in the world for maybe like 2-3 years.
No, oh, come on. They only, One Direction inspires women between the, or young girls between the ages of 14 and 17. Guns N' Roses inspires great swaths of the male population and parts of the female population. And for you to compare those two bands, it's just, you just hit a new low, I think, in the history of our show.
But, the fact that you don't put AC/DC in the proper holdings on where they belong, like AC/DC is way bigger and way more important on the history of rock and roll than Guns N' Roses.
Can we talk about the Bulls, please?
Yes.
I want to talk about, at least another minute, on AC/DC, who is after our last show, arguably the most overrated band in history. But let's go on, okay? What say you about what happened last night? And anybody who doesn't know, it sounds like
Give the update.
Basically, from what I've been able to gather now, midday on the 26th of November, Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Early Happy Thanksgiving. You'll probably be listening to this on Thanksgiving to everyone who listens, and thank you for downloading. It sounds like he was pulled early from the game because Tibbs just thought he didn't look right, didn't look healthy. You get a report that it was another issue with his hammy. I don't know if I believe that. You know, I think it was just Tibbs. To me, it just seems like Tibbs is getting tired of. He didn't look right. There's no denying that. He didn't look like he was playing at 100%. Looked like he was obviously hobbled. So he just said, you know what? You're not going to practice 100%. You're not going to play 100%. I'm going to pull you. What say you? Do you think I'm wrong in that assessment of the situation?
You know what? So I am in the wonderful Phoenix, Arizona right now, so I've not been watching the games the last 2 days, but I've been following them. And, you know, I turned on ESPN last night, and I got to say, I'm disappointed. I mean, it was like one of the top stories on ESPN. I had no idea Rose didn't play. I just saw the score.
He played
9 minutes, whatever. But, anywho, I mean, you know, I was not happy to see that he wasn't playing, but at the same time, yeah, when I saw Tibbs' comments afterwards, it sounds to me like Tibbs did pull him. It sounded to me like he just had enough of Rose's bullshit. I mean, you're not going to be rehabbing on the floor. You know, I mean, you're either ready to play or you're not ready to play. And you know if you're, you know, I don't know if there was any disrespect intended, but it seemed to me the way that he seemed to me in the press conference last night, it seemed to me like he was just kind of knocking back at Derek and just being like, look, you're not ready to play, you're not playing. Whatever. I mean, it seemed to me like they pulled him. Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. They're making a really big deal out of it today, so I don't know what to make of this. I mean, I know that we're making a big deal again out of something that's not basketball-related, and that upsets me. It's annoying. It's getting annoying to constantly be dealing with bullshit with this team, especially after the last 2 years. Like, you just want to have a season where you just see where it's about basketball. But you know what? Maybe it's naive to think that at this point, with all Derek's been through, that we'll ever have a season again where it's just about basketball. I mean, until he plays, and he plays for an extended period of time, the only topic that we're going to be able to talk about is injuries. Injuries, injuries, injuries. That's it. And it's up to him. That's up to him to squash that. And if he doesn't want to squash that, if that's not his motivation fine. If this is occurring in January or in February, if he's not just giving it a really strong go to just string together consistent performances, fine. Then you know, I'm not going to be okay with this. Right now, fine. You want to write off part of the season, fine. But I also feel like, you know, I get it. Like, you want to work your way back into form. But, you know, if you're injured, you're injured, and you shouldn't be playing. But he's got to string together basketball games at some point.
All right, let me just – I think everybody, first of all, needs to step back, realize, number one, it's November, and we're 9-6. And we've had injuries to Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Kirk Heinrich, who else has missed time? Taj Gibson, Jakeem Noah. Virtually every virtually every major
Everyone.
Player on the team has missed some time. Paul Gasol has missed a period, and we're 9-6. Contrast that with Cleveland, who has had Irving, Love, James healthy for every game. They've played their league leaders in minutes, and they're, you know, struggling to be a 500 team. So, do I think that's going to continue? No. Do I think the Bulls are going to continue to quote unquote struggle? No. It's November. There's few things less important than November basketball in the grand scheme of things. You got to stay 500 or better, and then, you know, turn it on as you get closer to the playoffs. They're 9-6. I just think everybody just needs to just calm down just a little bit and say, all right, let's look at the big picture here. Is Rose out for the season? No. Is he healthy? No. He's got 4 or 5 months to get where he needs to be. My hope is that he just is
Less than that. Yeah, definitely not 4 to 5 months. Definitely not 4 to 5 months. You're saying he's got 4 to 5 months? Yeah, okay. He's got 4 to 5 months to get where he, like, needs to be. So that's to say, like, by you need him to be, by March, playing Derrick Rose basketball. To be, because you're not going to pick it up in the playoffs. Things change in the playoffs. You need to be in the playoffs. You know, you've got to have it figured out by that point. We're not figuring it out.
Do you think it's impossible? I mean, you have seen glimpses so far this year, have you not? I have, of Derrick Rose playing, quote-unquote, what do you call Derrick Rose basketball? Yes or no?
Bruce, but yes, you've definitely seen glimpses. You've seen glimpses of a very good basketball player. You've seen brief glimpses of Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, to anybody listening to our show who doesn't remember who this kid is, it's been a while. But Derrick Rose, I mean, his peak Derrick Rose form, he was as special as they come. As special as they come. He was as good as they come. Have I seen that this year? Briefly. Very briefly. What he had been before. But he was a different type of player this year as a whole, as he was last year as well. And I like the player that he is. I like him. He looks way better this year than he did last year. He looked last year very lost when the season started, I felt. And his shooting was atrocious. This year, he's been way more aggressive. He's been a more complete player. I don't feel like he's been relying on jump shots and, you know, 15-footers and threes as much as he did last year. I think he's been aggressive, and I think he might need to be. I mean, he needs to be. That's what makes him Derrick Rose. And he's looked really good when he's played, and I think that if he strings together a few games, I don't think that it's me being, you know, I don't think I'm being optimistic by saying, overly optimistic, by saying if he strings together a few games, a few weeks of games, yeah, he could be like one of the best players in the playoffs, for sure. He's looked really good.
Let me give you a bad news, good news. Everybody thinks that we had to have Derek at, like, you know, 90 to 100% for us to win a title. That's the bad news, right? Because personally, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to be about 80%. My hope is that we get through this minefield of the regular season without him suffering catastrophic injury. He approaches the playoffs quasi-healthy and plays at, what, you know, 80% of what he was. The good news is, though, I think we can win a title with Derrick Rose at 80% of what he was, because in case you haven't been watching, Jimmy Butler is now playing at an all-star level. You got Paul Gasol playing at an all-star level. You have probably the best player in, you know, to come off the bench, or one of the best in Taj Gibson. You have Jakeem Noah, who hasn't even remotely approached what he was. It's the other point, that the other negative about the season, that he's a shadow of himself right now. But you got to believe it.
Disagree. He hasn't been quite what he was, but I think he's had, especially, what, 2 games ago, 3 games ago? He looked really good. And he's had moments,
but overall,
he's there. I'm not worried. The type of game that he plays, he'll find it.
Okay, you're right. When he finds it, this team has so much talent, and it's going to be so good if we play our cards right and we do the right things that will take us and get us to where we need to be at the end of the season. The only impediment to that, to me, is potential roadblock is Thibodeau and this stupid idea, like every game is game seven of the playoffs, that we need to play. I mean, for Gasol to come back and play 36 and 37 minutes, whatever he played yesterday. Let me see what he played yesterday. Coming back from an injury, Gasol put in 36 minutes yesterday. I think he played 37 the night before on a back-to-back. It's just so incredibly asinine and so incredibly stupid that and for people to justify it, it's just like...
Yeah, I agree.
Idiot on Twitter is like, well, he's missing Nolan, he's missing Gibson. Yeah, I understand that. Yes, I understand that. And you might be tempted to say, well, since he's missing those guys, let's pay him 46 minutes or 45 minutes. Yeah, in the long run, that's the dumbest thing you can do. Mirotić played 20 minutes last night against Denver.
Which isn't enough. Barstow played like... Barstow started and he played under 10.
He played 18.
Didn't he?
Yeah,
18. So, okay, you start the guy. Look, it's fine. I'd rather be 9-9 in a few months than risk Paul Gasol getting freaking injured. Why? How could you be running a player? We have seen guys get exhausted on this team, and I know they are historically. You look at any of the great players, and if you look at their numbers, minute-wise, they went down as their careers began winding down, the later years. The ones that had success in later years played closer to the low 30s, but then you do see guys like, you see Kobe Bryant, who's probably leading the league in minutes, or he's up there. You know, I mean, for every Tim Duncan, there is a Kobe Bryant. And I guess at the end of the day, it's what your school of thought is, but my school of thought is, as a whole, you really want to preserve your talent, and that might mean 28 minutes. I mean, if you're worried at all about this guy getting injured, then just could dabble him in the lineup, you know, at key moments of the game, make sure that he's in the rotation, but don't really start riding him until closer to playoff time. Because when you want to start clicking on all cylinders.
Another point is, yes, I mean, we're blessed to be playing in the East. You know, the West is much tougher. Portland is a monster team to play in Portland. We're blessed. The vast majority of our games are going to be in the Eastern Conference, not against the West. It doesn't matter really right now if we're 500 as opposed to 9-6. If you keep on playing Butler 40 minutes a night for 82 games, for whatever how many games he missed a few games, if he plays 75 games or 70 games and he plays 40-plus and averages and leads the league in minutes, you are not going to have a guy who's playing at an optimal level by the time the playoffs come. The odds are against it because every second, every minute that you're out on the court is susceptible to injury. You could be injured. You need to lower the probability of that injury by lowering his minutes, giving some of those to McDermott. And I know it's the fashion right now to just bash on McDermott, and McDermott sucks.
I just dropped him off my fantasy team.
I've never seen so...
If you want him, Fred, go grab him.
Okay, maybe I will. I've never seen so many ridiculous comments about a player in my life. This guy is terrible. It's November. He hasn't even played. We haven't even been put. It's the 29th. We started October 29th. It hasn't even been a full month. And I've read he's a bust. He's horrible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's 4 of 8 from the free throw line.
How are the other rookies doing? How about Jabari Parker? You know.
Yeah, exactly. Are we really going down this road? This guy's terrible. Here's what the problem with McDermott right now is. Tibbs has this offense installed where McDermott's job is to go to the opposite side of where the ball is and stand there and let the other guy, whoever it is, usually Brooks, he's usually playing with Brooks. I always see that bum Snell next to him. It's unbelievable how they utilize this guy in the offensive end. The other day, I'm just like screaming, you know, the guy has a post game. You can throw him in the post. I think Nate, there was a switch on it where Nate was on him, and they didn't even bother to throw him in the post. I mean, you might say, well, that's his job to get in the post. Use him in the post. He can play in the post. Did anybody watch him for 4 years? And, you know, sometimes he does get those mispasses.
He could play in the post in the WAC on Creighton. It's a whole different ballgame when you're in the NBA, man.
That may be true, but if Nate Robinson's on you, I'm pretty confident you can send him in the post.
Nate Robinson played in a major basketball conference. Nate Robinson went to a quality basketball institution in the Pac-12, which is a monster. He played in the WAC, man. he didn't play against big dudes. There's a big difference. When you look at college basketball and you look at the major conferences and the non-major conferences, the front courts on those teams, there's a big difference, dude. The players that are not in major conferences, when you look at their front courts, they don't look like basketball players. They're not like you look at them and you're like, whoa. You look at the big men on the major teams, and they, I mean, they look like that, whether they make the NBA or they don't,
right.
You could tell they're of a different breed. They are.
Let me finish my point. My point is Kyle Korver shot 14 of 44 in his first month in the NBA. I went back and looked it up. That's 31% for all the people who don't want to do the math. McDermott's shooting, I think, 45%. He's not shooting that well. He's 44.9 last I looked up, and, you know, he's shooting not well from three. You cannot judge a guy on this, basically, body of work. It's just such, just stop it. Just stop it. If you're going to get mad about it, get mad at Tibbs for the way he's using them. It's just pathetic. Right now he's in the Met. Just think about it. Any player, if you're playing basketball, I don't care if you're playing in a pickup game, if you're going to be told, here's when you're going to play. You're going to come in the middle of the second quarter. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. If you make one mistake, you're going to be pulled. And if you miss a shot, you're going to be pulled. So you got 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes. Go make something happen. And I want you to stand on the opposite side where the ball is, where Aaron Brooks is. So that's what your job is. All right? And then you're not going to play at all in the second half. That's basically what he's doing right now. So, yeah. Go ahead. Anybody out there is going to have some problems making stuff happen and making the numbers look good. It's amazing to me he's still over 40% from the field. So, you know, that's how he's being utilized. So everybody can continue to bash him and say he sucks and he's terrible, despite the body of work that he's had before, despite the fact that he clearly was great in summer league. He's clearly had skills in preseason when he started and he performed well. He's not playing well right now. It's because how he's being utilized. I still believe in Doug McDermott. Call me crazy. But if we want to bury him, go ahead, bury him.
Well, that's insane. That's anybody who's second-guessing our selection of him is just – and you, look, this is just the media. Every second they're sitting there waiting for the next big thing to bounce on, that's just what they do. And it's the way it's always been. It's disgusting, and it makes me disgusted to be an American when I see disgustingness like this, because it's not news. But, you know, people love jumping on people, and look, even if McDermott this season never gets that great, I'm not going to get – We said the only reason that we're shitting on Doug McDermott is because we traded up to get him and he was a relatively big name. If this was, you know, James Johnson, we gave him 2 years, you know, we gave him a chance. We gave Taj a chance. We gave everyone a chance. You know, some of them work out. Some of them are like Tyrus Thomas and they don't, but we traded LaMarcus Aldridge. We traded LaMarcus Aldridge to get Tyrus Thomas, and I did not hear people railing on Tyrus Thomas like you hear people railing on Doug McDermott. You would have thought that we traded LaMarcus Aldridge to get Doug McDermott. We traded two mid-tier picks to get the 10th pick. And, you know, but, you know, he's a big name. We are a city and a media that likes to have drama, so let's have some drama. Do I think Doug's earned more minutes? No. But you know what? You know, I didn't think Mirotić had either, but the minute that Mirotić started playing more, you were like, whoa. And you know what? Mirotić has an out-of-this-world game, and then he gets followed up by only a 20-minute game. And, like, you're only playing 20 minutes, but Pau Gasol's playing 37, and Mirotić, how about take 7 minutes away from Pau Gasol and Mirotić?
I like Mirotić. I think Mirotić has shown a lot of signs like this guy.
It seems like he is.
He's got a huge amount of talent. There's no denying it. He has really shown tons of talent. He's played 235 minutes versus McDermott's 189, and Mirotić is shooting 40% from the field, Doug's shooting 43.1. So this is the latest stats. Doug's shooting 43.1, Mirotić at 40. He is shooting better from three, Mirotić at 38, and Doug's only at 23. But Doug's got 26 attempts versus 34 for Mirotić. We'll see where they're at by the end of the season. I still think McDermott will probably be a number 3-point shooter out of the two by the time all is said and done, but the body of work isn't nearly there. I mean, I just keep...
I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with that.
I
think Mirotić might be... Mirotić just showed some unbelievable range on his shot. Ungodly range. He makes shooting from 30 feet to look as effortlessly as it does from 25. And, I mean, that is something Doug McDermott does not do, or has not struck me as doing yet. The level of difficulty of some of Nikolai Mirotić's long-range shots... You know, he takes tough shots, and he doesn't take them. You know, he's able to contort his body and do things to get the ball in the basket, and he's got unreal range. Yeah, he seems to me, look, McDermott, I think, could be a good role player in this league, good shooter, and he might turn into something. He'll be lucky if he turns into a Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver's a pretty damn good basketball player, but it took Kyle Korver a long time. He's, like, at his peak right now. learning the game and learning how to best utilize his skill, his limited skills, and or his limited athleticism. I mean, Kyle Korver is like 30 years old and he's at his peak. Doug McDermott is, you know, a rookie. Give the guy a chance, but I think Mirotić is going to be a much better player than Doug McDermott. I don't think it's going to be comparable at the end of the day, their shooting abilities.
I disagree with that. I think Mirotić probably will be a slightly better player from what I've seen. I mean, he just has so much skill, he's so much bigger, he's a lot better athlete than I expect him to be. I mean, it's just incredible to me. You just see the flashes that he has. If he gets a little bit stronger, I really think he's going to be awesome, but I still really believe McDermott's going to be a phenomenal player. He just needs to be utilized in the correct fashion. It's just not happening. The Bulls drive me nuts. Their offense just drives me freaking nuts. That you have one of the top five post players in the NBA, you never go down to him. I mean, they go down to him, I wouldn't say never. They go down to him, I'd say, 10 to 20% of the time on their first. It seems like every fifth possession, maybe, they go to him initially. It's just like, are you serious? Everything should be worked out of Gasol in the post in the first quarter. Good things always happen with Gasol in the post. He'll pass, he'll get fouled, or make a shot. Occasionally there's a miss. It happens with everybody. But, I mean, they don't do that.
Okay.
Everything is on the perimeter. And they don't go to...
Which is ridiculous.
In the post. I mean, you have three, I think, what I call plus post players in Butler, Taj, and Gasol, and you don't do... And I think Mirotić and McDermott also have the ability to play in the post. And you should go down to them when they're in there. But, you know, let's just do the pick and roll at the top of the key, you know, with Brooks and Heinrich, and we'll do that game. I'm fine doing that game when Brooks is out there with the second team, that's fine. But when it's Rose out there, and Rose out there, that's fine. When it's Heinrich, I want to see the ball in the post. And I don't see it enough. It drives me freaking nuts.
It should always go to the post. When you have the talent that we have in the post, first, if you have the ability to play through the post, you should. And few teams have, like you said, the post talent that we have, because it's not just Gasol. We have a lot of good post players, but we also have this unique ability where we have a 4 and a 5 that can pass the ball really well. You have two best big men passers. We saw what Noah did to team last year, being the passer that he is and being able to move the ball to Noah. Well, Gasol can do that too, just as well, probably even more so, because he is much more of a threat in the post. It should always be going through Gasol. I mean, everything else, you spread that floor open, and it's going to make this game that much easier for everybody else. All your shooters, everyone, Jimmy Butler, who's been, you know, putting the ball in the basket really well, everyone, Heinrich, Dunleavy, all those guys are going to be bettered by being able to spread the floor and have defenses collapsing inside, and we have the players that allow you to play that way. So, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why our offenses always look the same each year. Our team is very different this year. Adding Pau Gasol changes the team dramatically, because you've got much more of an emphasis now on your post. You just got, you know, our MVP right now, our guy who's been the MVP this year, clearly, is your 4, which is definitely very different than it was last year. And he's a very different player than, like, Taj Gibson is. We should be playing differently. And I don't understand why we're not. I don't understand why it's the same old system. And, you know, we haven't looked, you know, when we've been clicking, we look really, really good. After that Clippers game, we looked really, really good. Part of it being that we beat a team with subpar talent that night. Because think about it, if we lost that Clippers game, this whole road trip would have looked very different. We'd be 8-7. You know, I mean, things would be looking very different right now.
Yeah, 9-6. Everybody step back for a second. For all this head, you know, the hand wringing and pulling out our hair, teams 9-6 went on a West Coast trip, beat the Clippers, you know, had a nice swing against Utah, got a little bit scary there at the end, but we still won that. I mean,
well, how bad were we last year, Fred? Think about this time last year.
Oh, yeah.
After Rose went down. Because it was after. So Rose, this is like the 1 year anniversary of Derrick Rose going down, roughly. It's gay. Congratulations. We made it a whole year without it happening again. Wonderful. However, if you remember, that's when our downfall occurred. We still had Lou Aldang on this team when we started to completely fall apart. And we were horrible. And think about where we ended the season last year. Think about, what were we at the end of the season? Didn't we have home court advantage in the first round?
Yeah.
You know what? And we were, like, one of the worst teams in the NBA for, like, a month, month and a half. And it was past this point. You know, we're over 500 right now. Rose is still alive. You know, he's got both of his knees on him, as so it seems. You know, you got to be happy with it. And you got to think about, when you say things such as, nothing means less than November basketball, well, let's put it into context. And again, last season, we were terrible through, like, the new year. We were horrible at Christmas. I remember that at Christmas, we were still a really bad basketball team. It wasn't really until, like, February that we got our shit together. January, February, we started to change things. So What are we jumping off the roof for, man? That team made the 4 or 5 seed. This team is way, what were we last year? 4 seed, right?
Yes, we were. Yeah, we had home court advantage against the Wizards. So that's a great point, Mark. Last year when we lost Rose, we went into a complete tailspin. And, you know, I just feel like this year we've lost Rose, we lost Gasol, we lost Butler, we lost so many guys compared to last year who, outside of Rose, the team was remarkably healthy. You know, Heinrich played almost the entire year, which is very rare these days. And, you know,
Noah was in great health.
Played most of the year. I mean, the team was remarkably healthy and finished fine. I just see the same thing happening. We're 9-6 with all these injuries. I think in January, which is always usually our best month for whatever reason, I think that at the end of January we'll look back and start laughing at November. No, it just, it's not as bad as it looks. It's just, you know, that's just my opinion. But
it's not even close. But I don't know if people are necessarily comparing this to, you know, the end of the world. You know, I've been away the last 2 days. So, I mean, I think when I left, we were on a high, because when I left, it was the Sacramento game that happened the day before. So, I mean, there was a little bit of a bad taste in our mouths because of the Sac game. But you had the Clippers game the day before that, which was, we were able to forgive the Sacramento game. But now you've lost two more. So, I don't know.
Yeah, we went 2-9. So, after we lost Rose, we lost that Portland game. We actually lost the Denver game with them last year. We lost 1, 2, 3, 4. We lost against Utah, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We went 3-13 after we lost Rose, basically. And, you know, we lost Rose now. It's just unbelievable how much better we are, I think, as a team, you know, compared to where we were last year.
Well, I don't think it's a surprise. I felt like we were listening to our ship last year when the season started. And I thought you liked this team way more than I did. Even I remember on Media Day, you thinking this team could win a title. And I'm thinking, you're really not giving Derrick Rose a whole lot to work with here. So this team is certainly, I feel, way more talented than the team last year. So, you know, I'm not, yeah, what's there to worry about? I mean, come on. We did not have Derrick Rose at this point last year. He was done. He was not coming back to this team.
Right.
The year before that, you didn't have him at all. You knew he wasn't going to play until maybe the way end. But you really didn't know if he was going to play. The fact is that right now you have Derrick Rose sitting on the bench ready to play. And whether it's tomorrow, we can make a lot of snide jokes to what I just said. But whether he's going to play again, and whether it's tomorrow or whatever, the game after that, whenever it comes, you know, you do have Rose sitting there in the shadows. And he hasn't been before. So, you know, as fans, I think we all need to step back here and take a look at that and think, okay, whatever we want to be as a team, that possibility is always going to be there as long as Rose is healthy. So it doesn't. The minute he goes down, your hopes and dreams for what this team can be go down with it. So, you know, he's healthy. He's still here. You know, it's easy to think that the glass is half empty, but actually, I mean, come on, we're fine. And, dude, if we get Ray Allen and there's talks that we are seriously talking to him, if we're able to pull off hitting Ray Allen, and he can take over for...
I don't want that.
Oh God.
We don't need Ray Allen.
I would love it. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
It's an excuse to
play. You could always use Ray Allen. You could always use Ray Allen. That's fine. Hey, if we're in the playoffs this year, who do I want playing those minutes, Ray Allen or Doug McDermott? Ray Allen. If Doug doesn't play at all this year because we're able to get our hands on Ray Allen, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah.
What's the rush?
Right.
You want to win a title? You want to win a title? You're talking about Doug McDermott? Doug has ever been a part of a championship team. That's all I'm going to say. Not Doug Collins? Nobody. There is no Doug historically that has helped you win a title. A lot of Rays.
Outside of Ray Allen, who else?
Ray Lewis.
Pretty good. Had to go to another sport.
Michael Ray Richardson.
Exactly. Ray Mitchell.
Raymond Felton.
Something about Ray. You're absolutely right. Something about Ray. All right, man. I got to hit the road, brother.
All right, big guy.
Everybody
well, until next
Raymond.
Time.
Everybody loves Raymond, so that's something about Ray.
Hey, you can't tell me. You love Ray Allen more than anybody. So you
I
can't
do,
tell me that if
I
we
do.
Somehow get our hands on Ray Allen, that you wouldn't want Ray Allen to be a Bull.
No, who
gives a shit about Doug McDermott? Get Ray Allen!
I think that if Tibbs plays his card right and actually starts playing McDermott, we're going to be really good.
Do you think that McDermott could be as good as Ray Allen this season?
Do I feel
as what Ray Allen is now?
No, but I think he'd be close.
But fine. So if he's close and not, but not as good, why wouldn't we try to get the best player that we could? The fact of the matter is that if we get enough depth on this team, we could make the finals with or without Rose. Something happens to Rose, but we get the right depth. I mean, this team is not feasibly could theoretically, like, Jimmy Butler's an all-star, Noah's an all-star, you know, Paul Gasol plays Paul Gasol. If you got a guy like Ray Allen with or without Rose, I think this team could be potentially good enough to make the noise that you need to make in the Eastern Conference. So,
yeah.
I couldn't see wanting to get any depth on the team, any more depth. Look, we don't want to depend on rookies so much. And if one of these guys ends out this year, Mirotic or McDermott, I'm okay with it. If either of them do, I'm okay with it. I mean, the rookies, I expect more from Mirotic. He's older. He's played in higher competitions. I'm okay with McDermott struggling throughout the whole year. I mean, it is what it is. But would I rather have us to have the flexibility where we don't have to play him through that? Yes.
All right, man. On that note, I got to hit the ground running.
All right, man. Go run. Until my happy Thanksgiving to you, too, and until next time, Finables.
Basketball.